Heavenly Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for your love. Thou art truly worthy of praise, Father, for thou hast been faithful, Lord, to thy word. The word which you have spoken from the very beginning, before anything was ever created, Lord. You brought it forth, Father, to express your love, to express your attribute, Lord, to express everything that, Lord, was in your mind, in your plan, in your purposes, Lord, and that, Father, we are one of that prime purpose in your life. And you have not forsaken your word. You have kept us all these years now. And we know, Father, we do not know about tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. And we give you the praise and the glory, knowing that, Father, you'll bring us all to an end in good time in Christ Jesus. Everything will have to come back to him, for he is the one that laid down his life for us. And we want to glorify your name. We want to praise you. We want to thank you today, Father, for all that you have done for us. Even now, Lord, as we sit under your feet alone of your word, open it up to us, Father. And let our hearts be willing to receive, Father, what you have spoken, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. 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 God bless all of you. Maybe sit it. Now, let us continue while we now talk again as on a trip to finish off this series of the Tree of the Serpent. We have been going slow and because we want to recollect and bring to memory the things that we have learned all the years. And last Sunday, our main emphasis is about who killed the seed of the woman. You know, in Genesis, God promised that there will be a seed of the woman. And he spoke to the serpent and said, I put a meat between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And we know that 2,000 years ago, the seed of the woman came. And he preached the gospel to us. But who killed the seed of the woman? Who killed our Lord Jesus Christ? Everyone can say, well, the Jew did, the Pharisees did, the Romans did. And somebody will say, every one of us killed Jesus Christ because we are sinners, that's why we killed him. No. And I said there is nobody killed him. The answer is already there in the Bible. Jesus said, I lay down my life. I laid it down willingly. Nobody killed him. He laid it down. If he doesn't lay down his life, then he will not bring forth much fruit. Because he laid down his life so that he may give us eternal life. And like in John 5:26, where the Bible clearly told us this, and I said this very often, if you really want to know more about the Lord Jesus, the relationship, read the book of John. And John 1, 2, and 3. Because John was a disciple who really sat close to Jesus Christ most of the time. And got opportunity to learn and hear from his heartbeat. And that's why over there in John 5:26, he had given the answer, and which denomination failed to see or do not want to see. Then, as the Bible said, only God has immortality. There's only one person that has immortality, and that is God himself, the Creator God, the mighty Holy Spirit, the God is. The Holy Spirit and God the Father, the other, is just a word, just a term. God is holy, he's a spirit. So you call him the Holy Spirit. He's the Father because we are his son. We are his children. Right. He is the only one, the Bible said, that have eternal life. He is the only one that have immortality. And John 5:26, and John said, he gave his life to the Son, that the Son may have life in himself. So Father and sons are not equal. You better get the idea. And yet many of the people out there, many even the men and men still do not understand the Godhead. You need to know what you worship. Because the devil came to destroy your understanding about who you worship or about God. He can.
And you know what Brother Branham said to be true? Every Sunday, Satan is being worshipped in churches. And they don't know about it. Huh? Do you know what the Spirit feeds on? The Spirit feeds on the Word, doctrines. Our spirit within us, we feed on the doctrine, the Word of God. Those who are not even true believers, big believers, they go to church. Yes, their spirit also are feeding on doctrine. What sort of doctrine? False doctrine that has been taught out there. Yes. That's why that trail of the serpent moving alongside the trail of the true seeds of God. Trying to destroy everything that God had promised. Trying to destroy everything that God had planned. And make a mess of it. And look at the churches today. He didn't. Satan did. So close together. But you see, nobody can touch the true seeds of God. The devil can't touch it. In the book of Revelation, touch not the green trees, right? That's the type of what an elect is. You can mess up their life, but you cannot touch it. You cannot destroy them. Today we have churches, there are thousands of members. A church may have thousands of members. I have seen one of the biggest ones down in Congo, Kinshasa. 12,000 people. And they have it different rooms. So there are a few hundred could sit in each room, and there's a back, there's a big monitor, what you call a computer, and it's a monitor screen in all these rooms. So there are a few hundred in each room should be able to hear the pastor preach in another room. 12,000, are they there to really worship the Lord, to learn the Bible, or are they there to socialize? And we see that over here in Singapore too, no, the charismatic churches. They like to sing, they like to shout and dance and do all that. More than anything else. They spend hours singing and dancing. But they're here, they have very little time to preach the gospel and the truth. So are they there to socialize? Do you think that they are there to fellowship? Really fellowship in the Word of God? Or are they there to socialize? If that church is 1,000 people, alright? And if it shrinks, let's say just only a few hundred were there, would those people really come? Would those people really come? People are looking at sizes. And that's what the devil is doing. Fooling the people. And that's why we all know that union, you know union, trade union, joint union member, the bigger the union membership is, the stronger it is, right? You have right to fight for it. Yes. And so people think, the larger the group, the strength is there. Don't be fooled. Because in God, everything is small. Yet we are living in the day, what the Bible of Zechariah said, we are living in the day of small things. Despise not the day of small things. This is the day of small things. When even Jesus came in his day, 2,000 years ago, he didn't have a big flock of sheep. He only got 12, and one of them is the devil. But here we have, in that time, in Jesus' day, we had the Pharisees, a big group. The Sadducees, big group. The Herodians, big group. And there are others too. And Jesus Christ was just only had 12. And in my head, it's the Father's business to go and preach. He didn't go to a denomination, to the Pharisees, and try to correct their doctrine. He would not do that. He didn't do that. But they would come and try to correct him. Right? They came to Jesus and tried to correct him. With what? With their tradition. You should not eat without washing your hands. Remember? Huh? And how can you heal the sick on the Sabbath day? See, they're trying to teach him. And yet Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Did they understand? Did they understand? No. You know. So now when you look into today, we continue why we laughed off, and to understand now that in the day of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ selected or chose the disciple, there were 12 of them, and one of them is the devil. So now let us look into John 17:12. John 17:12. And I want someone to read, Brother Yingfang. John chapter 17, verse 12.
John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Alright, so there is one. That is the son of perdition. John chapter 6, verse 70 to 71. John 6, 70 to 71. Brother Henry.
Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. His figure Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Alright, so now we have 12 disciples, one of them was a devil. Now, if we are, I don't know, let's say, assume, anytime I wonder, I read the scripture, I analyze it and I try to look into what God, the way that God wrote it and the way that God deal with things. Alright, so I was wondering, why did Jesus choose one of them and he's a devil? Why did he do that? Have you ever wondered? I mean, if you want to have somebody to be in your company, huh? Would you choose one who is a corrupt man? An evil man? You wouldn't, right? You see. But if Bible prophecy is true, if the word of God spoken of is true as to his plan and his purpose, and regarding the seed of the woman, regarding the seed of the serpent, then something must happen. And you're already looking to fall into it, and many times I say this. Sometimes I say, Lord, are you a puppeteer? Right? Have you ever thought of that? Right? Are you a puppeteer? You know, playing what you want to make. That's of course. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It is not working for good for them that do not love God. The world is a stage. As Shakespeare was saying. And men and women are merely players. Right? They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his lifetime plays many parts. And you are playing many parts. But if we are the child of God, everything works together according to his purpose. For good to them that love God. So, whatever God is doing, he's doing for our good. Things that he allowed for our good. And so, in looking from the beginning to the future, and knowing that Christ must die, so a stage is set that Christ has to choose. And for him to die, there must be a betrayer. Obviously. You see. But you see, at that time we do not know much about Judas Iscariot, except what's in the Bible. But outside of the history record of Judas Iscariot, we found that he was a man who wanted to, you know, what we call, the insurgents, people who wanted to topple the Roman government. And one of them, the Bible is mentioned as, come on, there's one mentioned in the Bible when Pontius Pilate presented him and the other guy. What's the name of the other guy? Barabbas. He was one of those. There are many. Because a lot of them do not want the Roman government to rule over them. You see. But Herod was loved by many Jews because Herod wanted to make him a king over the Jews. You know, please the people. That's why he built that, rebuilt and renovated the whole of that second temple with gold. But there are those even like today in Israel. There are a lot of Jews that are planning to bring back the second temple. They have their own agenda, right? You have those Orthodox Jews. And those Jews, they are not really Jews. They are just half Jews. And those Jews, they are political and they don't care about any other thing. But all kinds of people. So, then at that time, Judas must be one who wanted to, well, heard Jesus preach and wanted to be his disciple, so Christ chose him. And the Bible said he was a devil. He was not the devil. So don't forget, a devil is different from the devil. There's only one, the devil. But many are the devil. And yet the Bible says in John chapter 17, 12, what did he say? The son of perdition. He was called the son of perdition. What is perdition? Perdition means destruction. The end result. Finished, destroyed. Evil. Everything is completely gone. The son of corruption, the son of destruction. That's what he was called. You know. So when we look at that, Judas Iscariot was chosen out of the thousands of men there in Judah and Israel to be one of the disciples of Jesus Christ to hear the word. Now you know when Jesus went out to minister the word of God and preach. You know the way he preached to the people out there publicly and the way he preached to the disciples are totally different. Right? To the public, it was just a mere simple gospel. But to the real truth, dig into it, he would expound it to the disciples. Because he knows that a lot of them cannot hear and understand. And just got to not want to waste time. So he trained his 12 disciples to hear the word, to understand the word. Now how important that is then for every one of us who call ourselves Christian. As I said this, don't be a follower of Jesus. Be a disciple. Learn, watch and learn. Huh? And Judah was given this opportunity to hear. He heard. And I won't be surprised that almost every time when Jesus go on a journey, on a trip, Judas will always be there. Why? Because of the money bag. Right? Remember the money bag? Even that painting is that Da Vinci? Yeah, the painting. Look, he's holding the money bag. I won't be surprised that strange. All he was concerned is about the money. Even about the money that, the woman bought the alabaster of oil, right? And washed Jesus' feet. He's also complaining. What about the rest of the Pharisees? They were complaining as well. You know. It's all about the money. He had an agenda. But you wonder what's for sure. Everyone, many Christians, they're going to go to church. They hear the word preached from the pulpit. But as I said, from denomination, there's nothing much you can learn. But for the truth that God has given us in this hour, how many people really understand what God gave us today? We still have a lot of people out there who still are holding on to Brother Branham. Now, you know, I have received a text message that said, Brother Gant, I dream of you like this. And others will say, yeah, Brother Gant, so-and-so told me that to give you this information. So-and-so dream of you about this. I said, that's okay. You see, it's not me that dream. It is you that dream. So the dream is for you, not for me. A lot of times people think that, well, when I dream about you, it's about you. Something happened to you. Yeah, that may be true. I can give you a warning. Or I can tell it to you. But if it's a dream that is not like that, then it's the other way around. It affects you. What is a dream all about? Do you see that? So there was this man that dreamed that Brother Bram is riding on a horse, right? And he said, I will ride this trail again. So now because of that man's dream about William Branham, that he's going to ride the trail again, they think the Brother Branham is going to resurrect and bring forth another ministry. You see how they interpret this dream? Have they ever good thing about the man who dreamed this dream was actually the man having a desire that Brother Abraham actually come by and do a ministry. That's when sometimes your mind desires, a lot of time whatever is going through your head in the daytime, or your desire in the daytime. In the night when you sleep, the dream can appear in that form. Yes. Even though you say, of course you don't go to bed and say, I'm going to dream a dream like this. No. Dream can just pop up because of inner deep desire. You see? And whatever is in your heart, the desire in your heart, you actually manifest itself, whether in the physical or even in dreams. So we have this. Judas Iscariot was a tool, therefore, being used by Satan to move it among the people of God or the disciple of Christ to try to thwart the plan, to try to undermine. But you see, Satan only knows so much of what is available in the Bible. But whatever is not spoken, Satan cannot understand. Whatsoever is not written there, a mystery that is not unfolded yet, Satan cannot understand. That's why we have the seven thunders in the book of Revelation chapter 10. That's why it was sealed up. John heard it in the vision. Satan did not see it. And John heard it, John wanted to write it down, and God said, no, seal it up. Seal it up. And so that will remain a mystery. And if John heard it as a brother of Christ, so will we as a brother of Christ going to hear it. And you won't know, as Paul Abraham said, you will not know that until the hour comes. Because if it was revealed earlier, then that sinner would know about it and he could make a mess of it. You see. So there's a sinner do not understand that Jesus Christ will act like a people. The way according to God's plan. But according to Satan, knowing that Christ is the one going to give eternal life, he wanted to destroy him. And throughout all the ministry of Christ, Satan always attacked Christ to try to get him arrested, judged, and hang up on the cross and kill him. That's the plan of Satan. But here was Judas Iscariot. And besides Judas Iscariot, in the day of Jesus, when the true seeds of the seeds of woman was born, there was Judas Iscariot. But there was already the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There were already the trail of the serpent that since the last 400 years before John the Baptist came, Malachi was the last prophet. And for the 400 years of silence, no prophet spoke. Why? Because Israel was rebellious. You read in the book of Malachi, you know it. Look at Malachi. Just go back to Malachi. The last book of the Old Testament. The last Old Testament. And if you can read from the first chapter, the Bible talks about God loved Jacob. Malachi, you know what Malachi is, right? Or Malachi. I don't know. I think the French people call Malachi. Yeah, we pronounce the American called Malachi. Okay? So, and if you read that, in verse 2 he said, I love Jacob. Verse 3 says, I hate Esau. Now here, God was warning the children of Israel. Because they have been rebellious so often, even though they went back to Israel and rebuilt the whole city of Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple, and yet they really messed up the truth. Because by that time already we see, we have all this traditional teaching, or the teaching of the elders coming. So what if God says, I love Jacob and I hate Esau? And you can see the two lines. The God is warning that there will always be these two lines. The character that was Jacob and the character that was Esau. One that was sow is birthright for the bowl of pottage of beans. Then you find that in the next verse 6, how that God rebuked the priests. And in verse 7, how did they offer polluted bread upon God's altar? And they have made the table of the Lord contemptible. In verse 8, you have offered the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? You have offered the lame and the sick. Is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with you and accept the process of the Lord of hosts? Yeah, they have given God and sacrifice a what? A lame lamb. A sick lamb. God said, would you give to a governor, somebody higher up, important, would you offer this kind of offering to them? But this is what you did to me. Wow. Now, let me say this. This is Israel. But here we are spiritual Israel. We are type of Israel. We are in the spiritual side. Remember, God has two wives, figuratively speaking. The first wife was Israel. Right? Yes. Because of the disobedience, because they rejected the gospel, God blinded them for a while. And as Paul said, he turned to the Gentile and took a Gentile wife. And so here we are. I hope you are a wife, not bride. People say the bride of Christ. But the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. And so we are here to make ourselves ready. Don't keep on thinking ourselves as a bride. If you are a bride, it means the husband has never really known you. The day that you are married to Christ, it should be the time that you will become his wife, not just bride. Don't you know what the Bible talks about this? The marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb is not up there in heaven. The marriage of the Lamb is right here on this earth. We enter into the Kupa. We enter into the nuptial chamber of God's word. And Christ is our lover. Our husband. And we must be the wife. And he must know us. And we must get ourselves ready. Ready! In the way that he wanted to clothe us. In the food that we eat. In the clothing that we wear. The garment. Yes. How important that is now. Not just on the shallow surface of the word of God. We enter into the deep things of our God. We enter into the mystery of God. And so here we have Israel. Whatever God is dealing with Israel is a type that we ought to remember. If he deals with Israel in the physical side of it, he's dealing with us in the spiritual side of it. And which is more important? The natural side or the spiritual side? Huh? And I've said this many times, God works from within out, not from the outside in. God works from the inside of you outward. Right? It's just like a butterfly. The preacher preached years ago. That egg, the caterpillar that busts out the egg, the first thing it eats is not the leaf. The first thing it eats is the eggshell that it comes out of. What does the eggshell represent? Does it represent his old self? Destroy them. And so Paul said, I die every day. I face death every day. So I die to myself every day. The day you are born again, destroy that old man. Bury that old man. That's how small the caterpillar is. Then after that, I start to eat the greens. Wow, that's what he was born on. He was born on the lemon tree. That he will eat lemon leaf. He's trying to give me an apple leaf to eat, he would eat. You know that, don't you? Yes. If a butterfly lays its egg, and that's a butterfly that is a lime butterfly, it will lay on a lime leaf. And the caterpillar, when you eat the lime leaf only, you try to give it an apple leaf or lemongrass leaf or any other leaf, the caterpillar will not eat. I am born of the Word of God, so I'm eating the Word of God. This is what I'm born of. I'm not born of denomination. I'm not born of traditional word, so I don't eat traditional food. Do you get what I'm saying? Huh? You will eat, and the green that they are cut up like eating. You will metamorphosize bigger and bigger every day. changing its length, casting off its all outer shell, because it's growing from glory to glory. Because God is working from the inside out to the butterfly. And the one day when it's fully matured, that's what the Bible tells us. This. The fivefold ministry is given to perfect the bride. And to right to come to maturity, not being tossed to and fro. And one day when everything is okay, the church of God, it's perfect, come to that statue of maturity, then it will cease eating. One day this Bible is no longer of any use for us. Do you know that? It will no longer use for us. That's why right now we can't keep on eating. Then one day it stops. Then that's when the solemn period comes in. Something is going to happen. There's going to be a change in this body. That's why the caterpillar starts to spin from his mouth or from his other end, however, which different kind of caterpillar, how they, you know, different species. They will start to spin, right? And start to spin to a cocoon. God works from inside out. The word that you take in, the word is going to change you from inside out. And you become a cocoon. And in that period of silence. And that's what I think Brother Abraham make a good, times. You know, Jesus resurrected, ascended into heaven. Then he came back. And he was on earth for how many days? 40 days. Right, for 40 days he was upon the earth. Who did he visit? Did he go and talk to the sinners? No. Who did he talk to? Who did he come down? 40 days after his resurrection and ascension to heaven, he came back. Right? And he appeared to the disciples in the cross because they were afraid. Right? And Jesus was not a vision to them. It was reality. Thomas, come, feel my hand. Feel the hole in my hand, my palm. Feel it on my side, right? It was real. It was not something, it was a vision. No, it was not a vision. It was a reality. You can touch him, you can hug him. Not a vision. He was on earth for 40 days. But he didn't talk to no sinners. He went and visited all the disciples, all his people. Why? And the whole world out there did not know. Even you know, he would walk and visit Peter and all those disciples, then he went to visit some other group. He walked out the house. Do you think the public see him? They won't see him because they're blind. If you cannot recognize the word, how would you recognize him? Huh? That's what he said. If Jesus Christ come to us, to earth, and he walked in Singapore, would you recognize him? Would you recognize him? Oh yeah, I recognize him because he has long hair, this beard, and oh yeah. No, would you recognize him? He may be dressing very simple, right? He doesn't have to wear the robe and look like some people. And you know, in America, there are so many people. In Europe as well, there are men that have picture, good picture, that look like Jesus painting, huh? The painting of Jesus. They have long hair and look like Jesus. You know? Yeah. And maybe they go and change his name to call themselves Jesus. Yes. But would you recognize him? If you don't recognize the word, you cannot recognize the man who was made flesh in wood. I mean, our word make flesh. You will not recognize him. You see. So for 40 days, that's right. That's what the cocoon, it takes how many? 1 week. The cocoon, before it bursts into a butterfly. 40 days, if Jesus was on earth. And that will be the period of the sun. Would that be the period when the seventh daughter comes and answer the voice? So that from inside us, we burst open and we change. Our body will change. And then we'll be lifted up to meet Jesus in the air. We're all looking forward for that. Look into the mystery that will unfold. You know. He said, but what is being uttered by the seventh hour we will not know yet. Because Satan doesn't know. But God doesn't want Satan to know. Because if he knows, you'll go around spreading all the lies about what it is, twisted ears and that. But I don't know what Samantha has uttered, because John heard it. John couldn't write it. God said, don't write it. And that tree of the serpent just falling so closely. Satan is falling so closely. Try. Understand. So we have a lot of people guessing this and that. Oh, this is the seventh seal and this is the thunders and what was open and blah, blah, blah. It was not written. You cannot preach on it. But we know what the thunders are. But we don't know what they uttered. And that's where the mystery lies. That's one final mystery for us that we are waiting for. How is it going to unfold itself? I don't know. So we have the Pharisees and Sadducees in the day of Jesus Christ. The moment that Christ was there. And when he started preaching. You know, as I said, Jesus did not preach until he was 30 years old. Don't let the Catholic Church come and tell you. Jesus did not preach until he was 30 years old. After he was baptized. And when he started preaching. Well, no. After several days or maybe a week or two. The Pharisees came to hear about him. And they are a busybody, you know. You know, when you are a big organization, you want to protect your people. And here it comes a stranger. Or they consider him a false prophet. So why are they going to listen to him? And they want to argue with him. Huh. You know, when you have a group of people to face one man, you think that you are going to be, you know, you've got strength, right? You're facing one man only. They think they have the loudest of voice. Huh? You used to see what happened when I was there in Nigeria and Ghana. Ministers there. When I preach what they do not want to hear, they came against me. They crucified me. But when I speak the truth, when I just ask them a question or two, they couldn't answer it. What then? Don't believe in groups. Believe in the Word of God. It's not the group, the large group that won the victory. No, it doesn't. But it came against Jesus Christ. That's the way of the serpent. That's the way Satan will operate. But Jesus stood alone. And even he knows, he told the disciples, if the shepherd is smite, what happened to the sheep? They were scattered. Isn't it? Yeah. You know. So, the Pharisee was that. They attacked Jesus. They were the one to kill the prophets. They were the one that destroyed the laws and bring forth their own interpretation, making it a tradition. Remember how about the law? Yeah, the Bible talks about in the book of Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you have laws of God that governs cleanliness, right? But what did they do? They took that law and said, you must wash your hand every time before you eat. Oh, I think that is stretching the truth too far. And as the song said, stretching the truth is making it a lie. Do you know that, huh? Yeah. When you stretch the truth too long, yes, it becomes a lie. And Jesus' question was so simple. What goes into your mouth comes out the other side. That's dumb. Right? But what comes out from your mouth comes from your heart. Because abundance of the heart a man speaketh. That's why when you're passionate with people, you don't think before you speak. It just comes from your heart. It's about this and that and everything. And that's what the Pharisees did. You know. Sometimes we need to let some foolish man utter the voice. Let them keep on talking and let them condemn their own self. Because they don't stop to think. Like the Ugandan man, the two Branhamites, they came into the meeting. But they heard I was there. That was the first time I was there in Uganda. And Mr. Wonder, they have a meeting, we have in the room, and they came. And I asked the question, wow, they think that they have the answer to put me down. Yeah. You know? And everybody was watching, and I still remember that time. They were watching, and I said, how would I answer a question like that? Because that was what Brother Branham said. So I present a simple, you know, explanation. God took control of the whole thing, using the scripture, using illustration, and they were dumbfounded. They could not answer the question that I put to them. They took up their bag and they walked off. The rest of the brother later on said, Brother God, we've never seen anything like that. You speak using the Bible. And now we understand what it is now. That you, why Brother Bam said what he said? Huh? Every one of us, let me say this, we're all born of a woman. Even before Adam and Eve sinned, it will still come from Eve. There must be a union between husband and wife. Or else, there will be no children. Think about it. Why did God took the woman out from the side of the man? The Bible says, because, you know, Adam was the son of God. And look at it very carefully what the Bible says. Don't just simply read on the surface. Because God put Adam to sleep and cut from his side and took a rib and the flesh thereof, right? Right? And formed a woman. Yeah, that's when you read the Bible. People think that God took a rib and the flesh and then, like you see in a cartoon. Or maybe like today's science fantasy. Boom, a woman appear. You think that's what it is? God was just giving us a type, a shadow of what it means to take from the side of the woman Eve. When it was presented, when she was presented to Adam, Adam woke up from his sleep, rubbed his eye. He looked at this, ooh, this beautiful woman, who are you? Do you think that he's so stupid and asked the question, who are you? Adam knew who she was, right? Is it not true? What did the Bible say? Look at it. You know, God, Moses wrote this book of Genesis. But do you think that Moses had this wisdom to write it like that? Is he okay? Do you think that Moses had this wisdom to write the Bible the way it was written? Because you understand the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. And look at what he said over in chapter 2 and verse 23. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So what was taken out of man? Not a rib. A woman was taken out of him. But again, God must take something first, right? He must cut off a rib and then into a woman. And that's why those years ago I still find it very very sort of amusing, because I've been to the Philippines and even in India I have been asked this question. You know, when I open up the subject to the church to ask questions, and some woman and some brothers there in these places ask, Brother God, is it true? The woman have one rib less than the man. I wonder what he asked that. I said, okay, are you married? This, are you married? Yeah, okay. Go home and count your rib and count your husband's rib. Just simple. Go and count and see whether there's a missing rib. You know, because that's always about missing rib. You know. And this is what a friend of mine said, believe. God took the rib and then after that God closed it up. God put back the new rib over him. grow by. Why did God go to all the trouble? It was only a figure of speech, a representation. Where did you come from? Where did the wife of Jesus Christ come from? Where do we come from? We came from the side of Jesus, right? Yes. And you look into the Bible, every time when somebody is being killed, the Bible always says they jump the knife under the fifth rib. Yeah. Under the fifth rib. Fifth rib, if you hit, jump somebody from the front, the fifth rib on the left side hits the heart. And Jesus was hanging up on the cross, and the soldier came and jumped, but he was already dead. He already dead and gone. When the spear went in, the Bible says blood and water come forth. The Bible did not say blood come forth. Blood and water. Not just blood. That means that Jesus already died of a broken heart. At the cross. All the time when he was arrested, throughout the whole night, he was interrogated, he was beaten and judged. Until the morning time. Remember, it was the whole night too. Not less than 12 hours still when he took the cross, carried the cross, and he could not carry it because of the wound on his back that he found. And somebody had to take his cross. All the time he was already under pressure. Hyper pressure. The pressure in his system was already bursting. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane already. That's why I said this. If Jesus did not go through Garden of Gethsemane, if he fell in the Garden of Gethsemane, there will not be a Calvary Hill. Right? If the Gethsemane Garden is not passed, Calvary Hill will not exist. Right? So Jesus Christ did not die on the cross. He actually died in the Garden of Gethsemane. He gave it up. The Father, not my will be done, but thine be done. If you cannot remove the cup from me, then I will do it. Jesus knew that he had to give his life because he knew the prophecy spoke of him. But like any man, the Bible is telling us, show us the passions of Christ, that nobody wants to die. Huh? That's why he prayed three times. The tension, the passion, the pressure was coming on until blood oozes out. The whole night through until he carried the cross. And his heart was already you can feel the pressure. You can feel that. That's why you talk about what love is. Listen to John, the apostle. He knew that love. Because he was, the Bible said, he was the one who put his head upon the breast of Jesus Christ. Right? He could hear the heartbeat. And I always say this, that heartbeat that John heard is, I love him. That's why he loved us. That's why he got to take that, go through all the way to the cross. But so when the spear was pierced already into his heart, blood and water came forth. Because he already died of a broken heart. The heart is already broken. That's why the water and the blood oozed out of the heart into the back. And after he was left there for a little while, they accumulate. The water was separate from the blood. So when it pierces in, you can see blood and water flow out separately. Huh? You see how blood flows out. You cut yourself, right? You will never see water and blood. But you cut it out and put it in a little dish and wait for it and see what happens. After a couple of minutes or an hour, perhaps 30 minutes, perhaps, you can see the water flowing out above the blood. So Jesus was dying of a broken heart. That's why when God reached the illustration in Genesis, he was telling us, was letting us know that it is not good for the man to be alone. Was speaking of Christ himself. That Christ should not be alone. He wants a bride. As God took the woman from the side of Adam and presented it to him, God, the same thing, took the bride from the side of Jesus Christ and presented it to him. Right? Huh? That's right. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ did not come only by water. But he came by water and blood. That's what John said. And the Spirit is the witness. How is the Spirit a witness? Do you not come by water only, by through ceremonial cleansing, to be a priest, to be a preacher?
No.
Oh no, so that he didn't die just by blood, because the Bible said without shedding of blood, we know that he died. We know that he shed his blood. But the Spirit of Christ returns back 3 days later. And the Spirit is the witness. Not by water or blood only, but also. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit is the witness. And that's the reason why he came back on the day of Pentecost, 40 days later, and infilled the disciples. That's what life is all about. That's why we have the life. Real life. So look at the trail. When we look at that spirit of the serpent in the days of Jesus Christ, we have this organization, big religious organization. We study in the book of the Gospel, we see that they are self-righteous. Right. And we see that they hold to tradition. And they pervert the scriptures. Well, that is true, isn't it? But the religious people, they don't see it. The Pharisees, they don't realize that they were perverting the scripture. Jesus Christ said, you make the word of God no effect by your tradition. And the same thing today is true in the churches. They make the word of God no effect by their church tradition. But yet they can say, look at our church, we got so many members. Now, today's paper, I opened up and I saw an article written by a man. He said he went to this Catholic building, Novena, and see all this beautiful refurbished. He says, you know, I felt this religion is drawing me back after 30 years I have escaped from it. Well, that's true, isn't it? People go to church, go to temple because they are moved by emotion. Many times. You understand? They are moved by emotion. Yes. Especially when you are brought up young. You are moved by emotion. And that's why you can see all these sports stars like Usain Bolt. Is that how you do?
Yes.
And then he will go and kiss the cross and all this, right? Well, show to the world, look man, I am a Catholic, I'm religious. That's why God make me the bold, make me the fastest man on earth. Whatever he's trying to testify. Isn't it? And you can see that even religious people, whether it's the Pope or the priest or some other pagan religion, they will kiss the earth. They will kiss the floor, huh? Kiss the ground because they landed there. They feel, oh, I'm safe now. Whenever you are travel overseas, when you come back from overseas, when the plane landed in Singapore Airport, okay, and you walk out the aerobridge, you better kiss the floor. Because, you know, some people act very religious, you know, and I have been on the plane where, before the plane took off, you can see people. You have seen it? Yeah. Or maybe whatever they are praying to. You see, this is a religious thing. Very emotional. Not the emotions are bad, but you are drawn to something which is a traditional thing. Yes. The Jews were very emotional to their temple. And Jesus Christ said, don't look at this temple. Destroy it! In 3 days I'll raise it up. Of course he wasn't referring to it. But there was some bragging about the temple, how beautiful it was. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. And in Matthew 24, how he talked about this temple, that there will not be one stone upon another that will not be destroyed. When man looked at all these religious things, to beautiful artifacts that connect themselves to God and all these things, they are so religious, God is going to destroy it. Yes. The Bible tells us Vatican will be destroyed. Yeah. You know. There'll be no more. And America being a powerful nation, undermining the world, they'll be gone. Russia will be gone. And there'll be two war power. They'll be left to fight each other at the Battle of Armageddon. And there will be the kings of the East and the beasts out there in Europe. And how many other nations that will come against Israel in that time? And Christ comes back, he'll fight against every one of them. Huh? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see that day? Some people say, we don't think we're going to see that day in my lifetime. Some people say, Christ is not going to return now. There'll be no such thing as return of Christ. The world will go until the world destroys and then Christ will come back. Everybody have ideas. Right. But will I just watch and pray what the Bible said? So we see these religious people, the 12, the serpent, the Pharisees, Sadducees were there, they are perverters of scripture. And they hinders the believer. They hinders the believer. Do you know Nicodemus? Well, he was Pharisees. Well, he was with a group of the Pharisees that heard Jesus preach. But you know one thing? A wise man don't open his mouth in haste. A wise man consider his ways. So all the other Pharisees had declared Jesus Christ and that. Nicodemus speak not a word and knew that Jesus had something. He didn't. So one night, he quietly sneak out like the Pink Panther. Remember the Pink Panther? Sneak out the way to see Jesus Christ in the night. I guess he must be looking on the left of his shoulder, the right of his shoulder, to see whether any Pharisees are following him. You know what I mean? Because he, you know, people are really very destructive. I know, because when I preach something, when I preach, there are Branhamites over there, they're whispering, the other Branhamites, don't rejoin them. And when I was in Kenya, exactly. When we have a convention, another man from the America went there to another convention in another place. But here was, three of them that came from their side, said just to hear what I said. And it was reported back to me. The one of them said, whatever was spoken that we heard today is true. The other one said, yeah, you're right, but let's not go. Let us just leave them alone. You know? But the hindrance. Encourage a person in the truth. Not hinder him from following the truth. Yeah. And then of course, they are the one that kills Jesus, right? Well, that's all we all know. But because it was so, was the spirit of sin and that gets now all work up through them to put Jesus down. In a way, right, we know that. But Jesus could escape your hand anytime. You believe that? Yes. A few times Jesus had escaped. The crowd, they wanted to stone him. Because his time was not yet come for him to die. A good soldier lived to fight another day. But when the time is come, remember, what was that place where Jesus said, my time is not yet come, but yours have come. Who was he speaking to now? I forgot. How many remember? My time is not yet. You see, there is Christ knew his time. When his time is come for him, what to do, he will do. Because why? Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, cannot do anything except I see my Father do. That means that God always opened up the vision to him. Time for you to go here. That's why he said to the disciples, wanted to go and buy food and, you know, and because they're already preaching and very tired, so they all went together one year and Jesus said, no, I need to go to Samaria. Why you want to go to Samaria? Because Jesus was showing a vision that there's a woman there coming to take water at the well and it's time for you to meet her and present her the gospel. And that's what the Samaritan woman believed. because she was a true seed of God. You know. So there are times, that's why very important for us. We have to pray about what direction God wants us to go. Huh? And if it's time for us to do something, then we do it. If there's not time for us to do it, then don't do it. There are many emails. Baraka, please come to India, please come to Africa, come to Kenya, come to Zimbabwe, come to Zambia, Nigeria, and all these things. Brother Nye was still saying, no, we're still waiting for you. And Brother Pierre said, we are still waiting for you too, Brother Nye, to come over to Lebanon. Because, you know, maybe you need to go with me to Egypt, Morocco, and Algeria. I said, I don't know, I leave it to the Lord. And over there, the Philippines, please, Brother Nye, come. The only place I cannot go now is India. I've been warned. They can arrest me. Because, you see, we are living in the world. Satan is always trying to prevent and hinder the word of truth. Is that right? And here we have Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. What kind of a person was Judas Iscariot? He was a treasurer. But obviously, he always talk about money, hold money. He always said that. He criticized for the criticism. And he was a betrayer. He sold out Christ. Yes. And he was a thief, of course. He was callous, he was deceitful. He was Satan indwelling in him, so to speak. Son of perdition. He was a devil. John chapter 13, verse 27. Look at the stage when a man in his journey with the Lord can turn around and let the devil come into him. John chapter 13, verse 27. Oh, reading fine. 13:27.
John chapter 13, verse 27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly.
Right. Satan entered into him. Wow, that's kind of scary, huh? You know. When he says Satan enter him, this is not incarnation. Okay? It's a possession. Complete possession to where now you make up your mind. He make up his mind. I'm sorry, you can see people out there. Oh, Brother Bram is God. Brother Bram is Jesus. And the Congolese man, the preacher, he come to a state that he was so deluded that he believed a lie. And he would go to the pulpit and speak. And what did he say? That William Branham is God. Now I think he said, Jesus is not. And he believed that if whatever he spoke was not true, that God struck him dead. And then there he was struck dead. Not only that he was struck dead, within a few hours, just a few hours, when they tried to remove the body rots so fast. Have you seen a body rot that fast? Everything broken up. You can look at a picture, it's on YouTube. It's scary. He doesn't know what he speaks because the devil has entered into him, controlled his mind, that he got to speak against God. That William Branham is God. And Jesus is not God. Yeah. A lot of people don't know what they are saying. It's because the devil has control. And a lot of preachers that we see in America today, television evangelists, not in there, out there in Africa. I won't be surprised, there's also a lot there in India, but there are quite a number of them out there in the Philippines too. You know that, huh? Man called himself some kind of a savior. Yes. Especially Africa, especially a lot of them in Africa. Nigeria, Ghana, Ivory Coast, many places. In America, you have Benny Hinn and all those others. But what if Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, 22, 23, Many will come to me in the last day, says, Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done that in your name. Do one more wonderful work, big program in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. How many of these preachers out there read the scripture carefully? How many of them have read the scripture carefully? Jesus and many of them will come when in my name, come to say to me, in my name, in your name, Lord, I've cast out devils. I did many wonderful works. I raised the dead, I healed the sick, in your name. How is it possible? That's the problem. Talk about the false anointed one at the end time. They are anointed by God. Oh yes. But they are false anointed one. False and one. Because God is only one thing that he got concerned. God is concerned with only one thing. His word. They are anointed with a gift. But they are not true to the word of God. They can preach Jesus healed. And they can pray for the sick to be healed. Yes. Hey, you don't believe me? The Bible shows it. Judas Iscariot. Look at Judas Iscariot, right? He was anointed. Jesus sent out the disciples 2 by 2. I don't know who Judas went with. You know what I mean? There are 2 of them went this way, there are 2 went this way, and so on. And they preach and they heal the sick, and the devil will cast out. And I think that Judas is going, woo! Remember? And when, after that, the disciples came back. And they were rejoicing and said, oh, the devil was submitted to the name of the Lord. And Jesus Christ said, I saw Satan as lightning fell from heaven. What did Jesus say that? Huh? Think about it. Because they're all rejoicing, with the name of Jesus, the power that God gave us. God, Christ, give us this power, anoint us. Because of the devil ran away from us. We heal the sick. We make the blind to see. The crippled to walk. And they were so glad, they were so happy. And Jesus said, when they came by rejoicing, Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fell from heaven. You see? There is always the pride in men. Yeah? And that's why we see a lot of things out there. That many times these evangelists, they all talk about is their gift. The gift, the gift, the gift. What did Brother Abraham do? You know, Brother Abraham, he prayed for the sick, right? Many times he says, he was waiting. After he preached, he waited. So whether the angel is coming to help me, I don't know. If I say anything wrong, forgive me. Right? Whether he will come here tonight and do what he wanted to do, I don't know. He may be walking the stage and talking for 10, 15 minutes, even 20 minutes. And suddenly when the angel came, he said, he's here. Right? You have watched the movie, you have watched it. He said, I take the whole this auditorium under my control for God's glory. Then he began to let the Spirit of God move. And he will see lights moving. And if he comes upon a woman or a man, and then God will show him, he will say to the woman, you have a disease, you have cancer in your left breast. Your name is such and such. You came from this town, that city, whatever it is. Am I right? Stand on your feet, go home, you're healed. The same thing with others that came. And after just about 4 or 5, you can see the problem is already going to fall. Why? Because the virtue is gone up from him. The strength is gone up from him. Because if you are in the spirit realm, you are not in a normal dimension. You are in the spirit realm. The strength that is required, it draws away from you. Yeah. If you have ever been in that, one way to be able to go into that is spend a lot of time fasting and praying and see what happens when you enter into it. You feel very exhausted. Huh? And Brother Abraham said, I don't know. It had nothing to do with the gift. Right? He didn't ask for it. God gave it to him. But many of the preachers today ask for gift. and God give it to them. You want it, you have it. But what are you going to do with it? You glorify yourself? Do you glorify my word? Satan will not do that. Because the man of power, look at Judas Iscariot. He was so taken up by the gift, the anointing that he had, casting out the devil, healed the sick, and make the lame to walk, that he didn't even recognize the importance of the word. When Jesus spoke all those times, teaching them, yet he failed to see. He failed to see. Every time his eyes was trying to make use of Jesus Christ, one day to topple the Roman government. Make use of him. Because he was a man who was well loved by the people. But Jesus was not interested in politics. He was about his own father's business. That's why the preachers who never enter into politics. You see that? Yeah. A preacher should never enter into tradition. That's why Paul was in a tradition background. That's why he had seek out to destroy the Christian. Right? Until God's light hit him. Was blind. He thought he had the light. But when the real light came, he was blind to it. Until God healed him. And then he said, now I see. Once I was blind, but now I see. And the one he see, what he said? All that I have learned in Phariseeism, all my education knowledge is all dunk. Right? It's all odour or feces. Felt. It's a fact. You know. My eyes was open. So the same thing. Look at Judas Iscariot like that. And look at what's out there in the world. And when you want popularity, you have it. And the devil, when that one moment came upon him, and he betrayed Christ. Jesus said, what do you have to do? Do it quickly. He didn't hesitate. He didn't even say, oh dear, maybe I shouldn't. He immediately went out. Right? But you see, Judas Iscariot was never in the communion. Because he was not part of the body. Only the 11 and Christ was there. Only 12 of them. Judas was out. After they had the meal. Yes, Jesus washed his feet perhaps. Because Judas could wash the disciples' feet. Jesus came to serve the sinners. Because Jesus said, I did not come to serve, to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners. You see how the difference is? So what are we? What are we looking at here now? So don't let sinner for one moment of time comes in that moment. Sometimes we get angry. How, you know, I think many of us get angry easily. Yeah, we get angry very easily. I think you need to hop your anger. And you can see that road rage thing especially. I saw it just only also on the Straits Time and report in Malaysia just a couple of days ago. A woman driving a car and a motorcyclist, I don't know whether it's too close to him or not, and he motorcycle hit her car and he got very, very upset. When they stopped by, the woman said, you know, you scratched my car. That man was so angry, he's a Malay. The driver was a Chinese woman. He took his hammer from his bike and stopped hitting against the windscreen. Not enough, he took his helmet, smashed all the windscreen. The woman called the police came, and found that he was on drugs, he was on morphine. So the road rage, a little bit only, and it puts you in prison. Right? Yes? Yes, I said, if God give you the power, what were you going to do with the power if you have? Huh? We will start to do crazy things, I tell you that. That's why the Brother Mark talked about spoken word. Over and again, one of these days we've got to be given the power of spoken word. Every member will speak the spoken word. Really? Yeah. And I said, what are you going to speak if you have? You know, Brother Mark was given this power to speak loud, speak to squirrel. Know what you want to speak? You want to speak dogs to come to life? Speak lion to come to life? Huh? Then other guy will say, other believer say, oh, that lion is big now, let me speak the word and get a bigger one. Maybe I speak dinosaur into the world. You know the crazy idea about power of the spoken word? Think God is going to give everybody the power of the spoken word to bring life into the world? No. Because if it is, every one of us will be, the whole world will be chaotic. Because people will call up all kinds of preachers. Oh yeah, yeah. And if you watch too many of those alien movies, you probably call it alien up. That's why we have this carnality in us. Satan is working in the midst of the church. No, he's not working outside. He's not worried about this. Sinners, no. He's moving side by side close to the true seats and trying to destroy it. So in the day of Jesus Christ, the seat of the woman and the seat of the serpent is moving so closely. Aha! Jesus Christ was the seat of the woman. Who are we? We are the seat of the man. Because from his side we came forth. Huh? And the seat of the serpent? Yeah, look at all those out there in religious world. Especially those that are so close to the truth. Walking close with us. In Christianity. You know, I pray to my friend, all the years have been, you know, hitting against me, hitting at me, and I share the truth, he still do not want to say it. He believes in the Trinity, and I show him the Trinity. So I ask him to explain John 5:26. He couldn't explain. The Bible is there for him to look at it. Huh? The Son prayed to the Father. How can they be equal? Oh, but the Son stripped himself of all equality. How can you do that? How do you strip himself of your equality? The Bible said the Word was with God, the Word was God. Yes, that's when he was equal. Right? But he took the form of a man so that he could feel your passion. So if he took the form of man, he could not be God. Isn't it? But it was the Word that was in him. That's why I said the oneness between God, the Father, and the Son. Oneness. But the Father is always God. And he, Jesus, is always the Son of God. There cannot be two gods that are fathers. Because he subjected himself to the Father. There is the oneness between God, the Father, and the Son. And that's what Jesus said, that day you shall know I am the Father and the Father in me, because we are one. And in that day you shall know I am the Father and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. What is that? We need to be oneness with the Word. Because Christ manifests that. Be oneness with Christ, then we be oneness with God. Not having two minds. See? What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandment. How many people really say, oh, I keep your commandment? Do you do what the Bible said to do? Simple. And so I'm glad my sister at least began to take her first step in water baptism. And we get herself re-baptized. Because there's only one form of baptism the Bible recognizes. Only God recognizes that one baptism. Acts 2:38. Any other baptism is not a baptism. One brother in America asked me, so what again? A pastor baptized one of the brother and he said this, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ. What does it mean? Is that the way it was? I said, are you sure that it was? It said, something like that. Oh, I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you do that? That's not right. You baptize in the Father, Son, which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father is not a name, Son is not a name. Holy Spirit is not a name. So what, how come is the baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, which is the name of Richard Gunn? How can it not be? It can be, right? Baptized in the husband, Father, and Son, which is Richard Gunn. I'm also Father and Son, right? And also husband. Correct, isn't it? That's not the way to baptize, but people have that strange idea. It is one thing to say, by the commission that God has given me to go and preach the gospel and baptize everyone in their Father, Son, Holy Ghost, I right now baptize this brother. Mention his name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's okay. That's the right way to do it. But not the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it means, what which is. That's not why we have problem with people who do not know what they think they know. Teaching for things that are not right. And it's scary. And I always, always think that whenever I come to the pulpit, I always remember what the Bible said. If you add one word to my word, or take one word out of my word, I will even remove your name from the book of life. Think about the seriousness. That's why Malachi, the last prophet, the children of Israel were just offering to God sick animals, lame animals, and they robbed God of the tithe that belongs to God. Oh, think of it. What belongs to God they don't give? I mean, of course your money is yours. You think that it's yours. And a lot of people say, no, I don't have to give to God because all the money that I have, I work so hard for God. I work so hard for it. You're not going to leave you alone. But one day you get sick, or you get down with a disease that you can no more work, or even you will lose your job, don't come crying to the Father. Because you don't glorify Him in the first place. Huh? Yes. That's a trouble. When we are in trouble, then we cry unto God, right? When we are not in trouble, we don't care. You see. But many people, when they are in trouble, sometimes they feel it. They are so proud they would not even come back to God. But be like a prodigal son, at least. Because there's a father waiting. And if you are willing to repent, I've done terrible things, Father. Forgive me. I have robbed you. I did not sacrifice what belongs to you. You know. So spend your time with the Lord. Time of meditation, time of Bible study, fellowship. And as Paul encouraged, because you are living a day of Christ coming. Now this was 2,000 years since Paul said that, huh? He was looking forward to it. But he also realized later on that Christ cannot come until there is a falling away. What is a falling away? The falling away was not because the Catholic Church took over and there was a falling away from the faith. That's what people believe in. Oh, maybe the Protestant church there after they have the Reformation. Now they have the truth. Now they fell away because they joined the World Council of Churches. That's not the falling away. What is the true falling away? If you don't have the truth, how can there be a falling away? What truth did that Reformation have? Until today that they fall, that the people fell away. Reformation is a stage, right? One after another. But the truth of all it has not been restored until Brother Branham came with a message. The restoration, I will restore, is when you have to come back to the Word of God. When you come back to the Word of God, that is when the ministry can take the Word and restore back the truth. Do you get a point? How can it be a restoration? Did Brother Branham restore everything? Or did Brother Branham said yes? No. And that's why the thing that I have preached, they won't want to preach because I preach it. Because Brother Branham never said it. You know, how many of them have foolishly said that to me? Brother Branham never taught that, so it's not important to us. But they know that what I taught is true. And Brother Branham himself said, I don't know everything. You know that, don't you? He said, I don't know everything. Just like he said, what Peter don't need to know, God give it to Paul. Right? What Paul no need to know? He gave it to John. You agree with that? And Paul said, we prophesy in part. We preach in part. We don't know everything. Paul came to restore us back to the Word. That's what he did. Called us out of the system, put us back in the Word. Come back to the Word. Come out of her. Come in. Then, after he's gone, 5-4 ministry now took over. What started in the day of the church? The apostle ministry must come back. It's very hard for many people to accept it. Huh? The only thing about the prophet, the messenger. And they have failed to understand. That's why God is moving. Don't put a four wall and a roof and close the door and try to shut God in. You cannot shut God in. When you form yourself into a system, God walks out. And when God walks out, you gotta follow, or you are dead in the system. You see. So God is still moving, unfolding the word of truth for us. And we move from glory to glory to glory. Until the day when we come to the place of perfection, then the final thing, the final event, the final mystery will be unfolded. Then we will have the final revelation of how, as Barabbas said, if we don't have even faith to be healed even now. You talk about rapturing faith? Huh? You want faith for the rapture? When we don't even have faith to be healed. But we need to hear those voices. And when they sound it, when they utter it, hold on to it. Because we need to hear those voices. Because that's what gives the rapture in faith. Something that is said, then, oh, that's it. Like the day when I heard the gospel. Said, that's it, I'm a sinner, I need Christ. And I give my life to Christ. Instantly, I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. Give me the born again experience. You understand? Like the day when my son was in Bombay. Sick for 3 days without having even eaten for 3 days. And the angel came into the room and says, speak the word. You see, the power of the spoken word. We pray for our son, all these things, nothing happened. But God gave me the experience. Speak the word. So I just spoke the word. And my son was healed like that. Because that's what gives faith. Something spoken. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Faith must come by hearing. And one of these days, when that sound, we will hear it, and this one we will be changed. So in the meantime, walk with God. Don't let the enemy walk so close to you. And I said this, never, never give the devil a right to church. You know what I'm saying? You know people thumb a right hitchhiker? Right in a car? You don't know what kind of person you're picking up. And the devil, when he comes to church in the morning, or maybe Saturday at night, oh, should I go to church? Tomorrow I feel so tired, I don't want to go to church. Right? And then maybe you're thinking about some frustration about something and somebody, and then you come to church, man, you know, you walk and you grumble. And what's going on in your mind? I don't know. You, a lot of people go in their mind. You drive the car and they just grumble, this and that. Huh? Feeling frustrated or something. You come to church in your mind, meditate. Lord, what would you give me today to understand about my life? As I worship you, as a fellowship with the brother and sister. Let me feel your presence. Give me some understanding. Look forward to it every day. And I said this on Friday. You get up in the morning. You thank God for it. For another day. He give you life to breathe. Like I said last Friday, I said, we can die anytime. Right? You can get out of this building here after the service is over. Take the elevator down. The elevator might give way. You plunge 5 floors to the basement. You might break your neck. Break your arm. And you might be hanging in hospital on a monkey bar. Or you get upset with God. Because the Bible said the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. Every day I get up and say, thank God, Father, for this day. Bless this day. Thank you for another to breathe. And now I'm going to go to sleep. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. For giving me this privilege to walk and breathe your word. And breathe, you know, life. Always be thankful. Amen. The Lord bless you, Father. Yes, we thank you, Father, for life, eternal life. Not just life in itself, but eternal life, the life of Jesus in our soul. Thank you, Father, for quickening us to understand, to see our Creator. For the revelation you have given us to know who we are and who you are. And that you have this place of solace, a place of peace in this world where practically peace is hardly found in many countries. And we thank you, Father, for your guidance. We know you'll always be with us, and as you promise, even unto the end of the world. We want to thank you, Father, for walking with us. So we thank you. And thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to walk close to your word. And we know Satan will never rest. He and his seed will try to trouble your people. But as long, Father, we rejoice in thy spirit and walk in thy word and the light that you have given us in the pathway of life, we know, Lord, we are in good hands. The hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. So, Father, bless the rest of the day now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.